It's very fitting that we spend a few minutes to reflect on what it means for us to be here today and what it means for Scott and Josephine to be doing what they're doing today. And so in this part of our service, I'd like to ask three questions. The first one is a very simple one, and it might be a question that Scott's asking more than most. What are we doing here today? Actually, having spent some time with Scott and Josephine leading up to the wedding, I don't think that's a question that's tinged with fear. It's too good to be true, almost, isn't it, Scott? What are we doing here today? And what we're doing here today is witnessing the enactment of a covenant. Now, most of us in the last week, perhaps the last decade, have not used the word covenant in our usual conversations. But covenant is what this is all about. And covenant is a word that has a very special meaning in the scriptures. It's a word, in a way, that holds the whole plan and purpose of God together. And you can pick up the difference between a covenant and what we might call a contract if you were to just think back through the wedding service. And how incongruous would it be if we said, into this beneficial contract, Scott and Josephine come now to be joined. When we say into this holy covenant, it has a different ring to it, literally. Because a contract would end us saying, I now pronounce it a deal. I now pronounce it a bargain. When we come to witness a covenant, we say, I now pronounce a relationship. I now pronounce you to be husband and wife. Because our language of contracts, which we use all the time in the Western world, has to do with exchange of property and goods and services and making deals and striking bargains. And these guys have not made a deal and struck a bargain today. They've entered into a covenant. And so that's what we're doing here today. This covenant that they've entered into is not a religious ceremony, because this wedding is going to be over in a few minutes, and then there's going to be a reception which will be over in a few hours, but their marriage is going to last the rest of their natural lives. This covenant is not a religious word that sort of fills the gap of what we do within the church here. This covenant is something that they have entered which covers the whole of their lives from this point onwards. They are now in a covenant relationship to one another for as long as they both shall live. This is my solemn vow and promise. So we're witnessing something which is quite remarkable. In a moment, because we've got a few more things to do, but eventually the couple will come and sign the register. In signing that register, they're not signing up to a covenant, a contract document. They're actually witnessing to the fact that they have made a covenant today that has got legal implications. They are legally married. Now, if I say these people, Scott and Josephine, have entered into a covenant today, that might think, well, that excludes the rest of us who aren't married. And here there's a bit of news that might be a surprise to some of us. First question is, what are we doing here? The second question is, how do we understand what we're actually witnessing? And in order to answer that question, I make this statement. Every person here, whether you're married or whether you're not, whether you're 96 or 6 months old, every person here is already in a covenant. There is a covenant which has been established by God with us all. There's a covenant that has been established by God with the whole of the creation. And there might be some here who are very familiar with the Old Testament stories, and you'll understand that at one point in the Old Testament there's a story of Noah. And when Noah emerges from the flood, however you understand that flood to have taken place and whatever it means, it's not our purpose today. But God affirms, re-establishes, commits himself to a covenant that has already been in place, and that covenant is with the whole of the creation. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals in the field, livestock agent, all of your animals are under a covenant. Every person on the earth is bound up in that covenant, and it was indicated to Noah by the giving of a ring, a rainbow. So we say here today that we have come to witness a covenant being formed, which we have, and it's magnificent to see Scott and Josephine entering into this covenant of marriage. But from another point of view, all of us are already in a covenant relationship. God has entered into covenant with us. And if you go through the Bible and say, what does a covenant contain? What's it about? You'd find that it has these things in it. Covenant has always got promise behind it. God makes promises which he seals in a covenant. That's why when we have a wedding, we make promises which are sealed with vows and the exchange of a ring. Because when God makes a covenant, the first thing he does is give a promise. So promise sealed in covenant is what this marriage is about. But it's not just promise, but purpose. Because when God makes promises, he does so for a purpose. He is actually leading us somewhere. He's leading the whole world somewhere. He's leading the whole of creation somewhere. He's leading Scott and Josephine somewhere. This is not their idea. Marriage is not their idea. Marriage is God's idea. It's God's witness in human relationships of covenant. Covenant's got promise. Covenant's got purpose. And to try and make it easy to remember, it's got perpetuity. God never reneges on his covenants. He never backs out of them. He never breaks them. The history of the scriptures is that God has entered into covenant with us, and we are the ones who transgress the covenant, but that never actually breaks the covenant. God keeps those covenant promises, and he keeps his covenant purposes unfolding in perpetuity. That's why we say in a marriage, as long as you both shall live. A contract is a temporary arrangement for the mutual benefit of both parties, for the exchange of a price, usually. A covenant is an arrangement in perpetuity, because that's the way God is in relationship to us. He is in relationship with us perpetually, eternally. And the fourth thing that a covenant has, besides promise and purpose and perpetuity, is personal relationship. When you enter into a contract, you need not have any personal relationship with the person with whom you're in that contractual relationship. You can sign the contract and never see the used car salesman again. Most of us think, thank the Lord for that. We don't have to. But when God enters into covenant with us, when God enters into covenant with the whole of the creation, he is personally related to it. So when we have a wedding and it represents the sealing of a covenant in marriage, it's the entering into and binding up of a personal relationship between Scott and Josephine. Faithful to one another, excluding all others, It is the most personal of all personal human relationships. So what we're about today is witnessing something which actually takes us to the very heart of what God is about. That's why Scott and Josephine have very deliberately and thoughtfully chosen to have this service in a Christian church, in a Christian setting. Because they want to give witness to the fact that their marriage is a covenant. But it's a covenant within a covenant. If it was just a covenant and it was up to them to provide the means to keep that covenant going, you'd run out of steam very quickly. We've talked about that in some of our sessions, didn't we? But because God has entered into a covenant with us, and that covenant has been brought to its pitch and sealed and granted and given to us in the gift of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of Jesus Christ when he was about to be betrayed and crucified. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This bread is my body, which is broken for you to remove all of your transgressions of the broken covenant." God's never broken his covenant. God's never broken his personal relationship with us. God has never broken his purpose towards us or his promises towards us. But we who transgress the covenant, we who break the covenant arrangements, we are provided with God through the personal relationship that he has with us. We're provided the gift of his Son, and his Son, Jesus Christ, says, "This cup is the covenant in my blood." So what's the power for Scott and Josephine, for you and me, for any of us, to live in covenant? And the power is that there's a covenant over us. A covenant in which we live. That covenant which God has established in Jesus Christ, that covenant is a covenant based on forgiveness. It's based on the sacrifice of Christ by which he washes away our sin. And it's based on the fact that that washing away of our sin is necessary so that we might stand forever in relationship to God as our Father. So during the prayers, during our discussions leading up to the wedding service today, during the vows that have been exchanged, what we've said all the way through is this: you will not have the power within yourself, from yourself, by yourself, to keep a covenant. You will not have the power to forgive when you need to forgive. You will not have the power to love when suddenly Scott, for whatever reason, Josephine, becomes utterly unlovely. I could never imagine it, could you? You would never have the power to endure in perpetuity unless there was a power from a greater covenant come to you and enabled you. And that's why, as this young couple come to marriage today and they come into this covenant relationship today, they recognise in what we're doing and how we're doing it, in the prayers we've prayed and in the vows they've exchanged, they recognise they need the life of God himself in his own covenant life to come and to be all that they need to be to one another, so that they can forgive as they've been forgiven, so that they can be patient and merciful as God has been patient and merciful to them, as they can experience joy in one another as God gives joy to them. So that's why we're here. We're witnessing a covenant, and this is how we understand what we're seeing. It's a covenant within a covenant. And the last question briefly is this: does it actually mean anything? Because you could be here today and think, well, that's all very interesting, but it's all theoretical and it doesn't actually mean anything. This means everything. It means everything for Scott and Josephine, because as they come to this day, All of the covenant love and covenant mercy and covenant forgiveness of God is theirs, and that becomes now the basis and power for their marriage. You take away that and you take away everything. It means something to you, doesn't it, to be married here today? It means something to you to enter into that covenant relationship. But it means something to the rest of us as well. It means that this world is not randomly careering out of control. If what we've said about covenants in the Bible are true, if they're based on promises, if they reveal God's purpose, if they abide in perpetuity, and if they're to establish a personal relationship, it tells us that the history of the world is secured covenantally. God's purpose will be fulfilled. God's promises will be fulfilled. What Scott and Josephine are doing today is actually giving to the rest of us an opportunity to see how history works. You may be familiar with the poem of T.S. Eliot, who says, "This is the way the world ends, this is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang but a whimper." And he's wrong. It doesn't end with a bang or a whimper, it ends in a marriage. It ends in a marriage of Christ and his church, which is why we read from Ephesians. It ends in the glory of a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. And Scott and Josephine today, by participating in that covenant of marriage, are giving us all a chance to see, as a sort of walking, talking visual aid today, this is what history is all about. It's not random, it's not chaotic, it's based on promise, it's full of purpose. Those promises abide perpetually, and God is going to bring a new heaven and a new earth in which all of his people stand in personal relationship for him with eternity. So when we're here today, we're not doing something that's first and foremost about Scott and Josephine. It's first and foremost about God. And because it's about him, it's about them, because he desires to bless them and do them good and fill them with his Spirit and grant to him all of the gifts of his covenant grace. But because it's about them witnessing that, it's about us. God here today wants us all actually to enjoy the benefits of that covenant. He wants us to be in him and with him and through him to enjoy that personal relationship that he's given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's a prophetic thing you're about today, not just a personal thing, powerful thing that you're about today. And at the end of all history, what happens is that the whole of that new humanity in Christ stands with Christ, and it bears witness to the fact that God is our Father over all. And the Spirit, it says, and the bride in the last day say, "Come." And that's our invitation to you today. If you're here and you're looking at what Scott and Josephine are doing and thinking, "Well, that's a really interesting thing. They want to get married in a church. Isn't that quaint?" The invitation is here. Come. Come, enter into that covenant. Be part of it. Receive the benefits of it. And know, finally, that your life is not purposeless, but it's surrounded by promise. Now, as Scott and Josephine head out into their marriage, which is the way in which their covenant will be worked out for however many years the Lord gives you, you're going to find that there will be things that will go wrong. Sometimes you'll be out of work for a while. Sometimes one or other of you will get very, very ill. Sometimes things will go wrong with the house and it won't get fixed properly. Sometimes, should the Lord bless you with children, sometimes the children will be an utter headache. Not that you guys have ever been that to your parents, I'm sure. In all of that, where do you look? If you look within yourself to find the resources that you need to handle those things, the well will run dry very quickly. But you've got a covenant Father who's over you, Jesus Christ who's died for you, and the Spirit who dwells within you to lead you, so to speak, in this way, to keep drawing down the resources of that great covenant of heaven into your covenant marriage life. That's what keeps you secure. I mean, you look beautiful today. I reckon before the first 12 months are out, you probably will have had a first argument. That's where you need to know you're in a covenant, not in a contract. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you so much that the whole of this creation is held by your promise. We thank you, therefore, Father, that this marriage and every marriage is a testimony to the way that you have purposed the whole history of the world to be, in personal relationship with you in perpetuity, because of the promises that you've made, fulfilling the purposes that you have for us. Father, with joy today, we commend Scott and Josephine to you, that they would enter with great thanksgiving into that covenant life as they embark upon their marriage. And yet, as we commend them to you, Father, afresh perhaps, may we commend ourselves to you, that as we leave this wedding service this morning, that we may again just be deeply assured of the promises and purposes that you have, and commend ourselves to you afresh, and trusting our cause to you, and looking to you, Father, to bring about all of the salvation of your people throughout all time that we so long for. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name.